You will see in the month of prayer, and we're going to be touching on something, I believe, as we close, something that will be, as I was thinking through, even as I was coming up just now, how to preach in a way that we'll all get encouragement, not that I think we want God to speak to us. But let's stand as we read 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 10. Okay, I'll read verse 7, then you read verse 8 until we finish at verse number 10, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. The Bible says, Paul says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Verse number 8. Verse 9. "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me." Verse 10.
"Therefore I lay no treasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong."
Let's pray. Lord, as we come before your holy presence and hear the words of the Apostle Paul, as he tells us one of the unanswered prayers in his life, or rather a different answer to his prayer, the Lord, we might learn lessons from it. And that God teach us from your word today. And we want to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Before I begin, I just want to say, this may be one of the... it's difficult to preach a message like this, because we're talking about prayer, and we do need to understand that God does say no to our prayers. What we want in our lives, sometimes God actually says no. Alright? And as we begin here, we want to just recap a little bit. In this month, we've covered two main things. In James chapter 5, 16, don't have to turn at Matthew 5. We've learned how to be effective in prayer and how to pray for another person, our loved ones specifically. Now, looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 10, in the background, we know Paul's character. Paul was a prayer warrior. You will find that Paul prays many, many times. His epistles are filled with praying. Some examples, Ephesians 6 verse 18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." Colossians 1 verse 3, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." In 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 10, "Night and day pray exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." This is interesting because Paul's prayer wasn't for himself, it was oftentimes for someone else. He wanted to see the people in Thessalonica. He wanted to pray that God will help them to grow in their Christian faith. And what can he do to build up their faith? He was praying for that. Paul was a great preacher. He was not only the great preacher, Paul was also a healer. He was not a faith healer, he was a healer. Because when he mentions someone's to be healed, the person will be healed. Example, remember Eutychus in Acts chapter 20? Paul was preaching, he was going to leave the next day, and you know Paul was so full of wanting to tell the believers what God has laid in his heart, and so he spent the whole time preaching, and he preached, and he preached, and Eutychus, because last time when they gathered, thank God they gathered in a house like this, okay? Except the house is probably about a quarter of the size. Last time their houses were very small, alright? Apparently from historical records, some houses can only contain 12 people, so very small. But they have the upper room, so Eutychus and Paul was preaching in the upper room, okay? And you know how long Paul preached for? He preached for hours. I don't know, the Bible never said probably was 6, but he did mention Eutychus, when it was about midnight, Paul was still preaching. Huh? How would you like to stay in church till midnight? See, there's no smiles on your face. But you know, Paul was preaching till midnight. What happened to Eutychus? He fell asleep. This is a warning for people who fall asleep during preaching. Eutychus fell asleep and fell off the second floor. Okay, this is a joke. But in the Bible, it's recorded Eutychus fell off. And what happened to him? He? No one dare to say. Because they're asleep. Eutychus fell asleep during preaching and he died. Okay? And he went, and people, they were lamenting, what Paul says? Don't worry, let's go. Paul just, get up. And they went back. And Paul just raised Eutychus back from the dead just like that. Why? Because he's not only a prayer warrior, but God gave him as an apostle the power to heal. God blessed Paul's ministry greatly. But you know, as you look at this life, there was something in Paul's life that God wasn't answering. Or rather, let's put it in a different way. Sometimes when God says no, we often say that God didn't answer, right? You know what we're saying? God by hook, or God doesn't do it by crook, by hook, or by whatever, you have to answer my prayer, my way. And when God says no, oh, God haven't answered my prayer. I want us to understand in Paul's life, there was something in Paul's life that was a pain to him. A constant nagging pain to him. He had a physical problem that was hindering him. Apparently, based from the evidence from the Bible, he apparently had a very bad eye problem. Let's look at Galatians 4:15. This is some indications only, but I think the verse should be actually inside your list of things, a list of verses. But in Galatians 4:16, Paul was telling the Galatian church, what is it then that the blessedness you speak of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. That seems to be an indication that Paul actually had some very severe eye problems. And he said that some of you love me so much, some of you will, Paul, let me give you my eyes. Okay, I don't think they have medical innovation and advances so great like last time. But you know, Paul was saying, you love me so much that, you know, I know that you would even pluck out your eyes for me. Okay, another verse, Galatians 6 verse 11. I'll just read. Ye see how large a letter I've written unto you in my own hand. Somehow, yesterday I won't mention who. Yesterday someone in the youth, okay, now you know it's in the youth. Someone was saying, I was trying to read and unconsciously I was doing this. Now what happens to you when you have to read like this? Now, come on. What happens to you when you have to read, not like this, but you have to, like this? You are getting? Come on, you're getting? Okay, your eyesight is getting bad, okay? And Paul was writing with big letters. So it seems to indicate that he has an eye problem. It was so bad that the Bible says he actually was praying, God, help me to get rid of this problem in my life. Question for you, if Paul prayed, do you think God will answer his prayer? Yes, Paul's prayers are always answered. Do you think if you came to Paul with a genuine need, let's say Apostle Paul is sitting here, and you come to him and say, Paul, can you pray for me? Do you think God will meet your need? Yes, because of he's an apostle and God gives him special authority. But, why did Paul want God to remove this physical problem? We can actually change the question, why do we sometimes come to God and say, God, I have a problem in my life, I messed up my life. God, there's certain things I've done, or Lord, this is big, maybe it's a physical problem. Some physical problem lasts a lifetime. Or maybe there's certain things that's ongoing in my life. And we come to God. Why do you want to come to God with that kind of problem? Why? Anyone? You want God to solve the problem, right? You want God to, we know that all in church we learn, if we have any problems, we come to God, we'll pray. Okay? And so, Paul wanted God to remove his physical problem. It might have been exceedingly painful. We don't know, the Bible never say. Or, it may be such a hindrance that is interfering with his work as a preacher. I can tell you sometimes some preachers would have to operate under very bad conditions and they're asking God, do something. Maybe they are sick. One of the churches in Singapore had a pastor, but the pastor had a stroke. Okay? And you know what? The pastor is still trying to labor on and just trying to serve God, but you know, just can't because of the physical problem. Some pastors or someone who come with a problem to go, God, please help me deal with this so that I can serve you. So that I can serve you. This is very important. Some of us will have this. God, I need you to deal with this so I can serve you. Question. Did God answer Paul's prayer? What's the answer? Did God answer Paul's prayer? Did God answer Paul's prayer? Who says yes? Put up your hand. Who says no? Who says, now I don't know. Can I say this? God did answer Paul's prayer. God did answer Paul's prayer, but it wasn't in the way that Paul asked for it. And this is what God's people have to understand today. And it is painful. Because humanly I want it done in a certain way. I want my life to be running in a certain way, Lord, don't you know? Oh God, this is a contract and I fill in all the terms and conditions. Lord, please sign on the dotted line. Just approve the plan. You know what God says? No. I won't do it. Now, we're not trying to be mean here, but in this passage, it seems to suggest very clearly, God says no to his apostle. No, I'm not going to give you this. But you know what? God was so gracious. You know why? God taught him a few lessons. Why? Can I say this? When God says no to you, he always has his reasons. And because he is God and all wise, his reasons are always the right reasons. Amen? Amen. We need to understand this. But Johnny, it's hard. I'll deal with that later. We need to learn this lesson. There are times and things in our lives that God allows and will not take away, despite our praying and prayers, no matter how earnestly we pray for them, because God has a plan. God has a plan. It's just that we don't see the plan, but God has a plan. And that's the encouragement we can have. You know, this is a very direct repudiation, if you want, of people who says that you can come for a faith healing service and God will heal all the time. God says no. What makes you think I'm your slave? I'm a slave. You tell me to do things of God. You know, on the 11th of October at this time, from 7 to 9, we have a faith healing service. Lord, please make yourself available. God says, sorry, I'm busy somewhere else. Of course, God is everywhere. You know, sometimes this faith healing thing, we need to be very careful because this verse, when what is practiced is inconsistent with the Bible, who do we believe? The Bible. And that's why we don't stand for that. Can God heal? Absolutely he can. But in a way and in a manner that he chooses. Because he's God. Oh, please understand this. From the Bible. Why? What were the lessons that Christ, or rather Paul, had to learn from God? I'll give you four lessons from here. And I hope that God will help it sink in. Before I even go into four lessons, some of you may be going through things. They say, God, get rid of this. Can I say this? I learned this lesson from one person. It didn't happen, but he said you need to be careful when you ask God to get rid of things or deal with things. There was one person who prayed, God, please help me to please get rid of this disease that I have. That person died. Sometimes you don't want God to give you your answer because we, in our infinite wisdom, don't know how to ask. Why do you think God gave us the Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 8, to help us in our asking? Now coming back, four lessons. What Christ had to teach Paul, why he did not answer the prayer. Maybe God will apply that to our lives today. Lesson from the Bible. Number one in verse 7. God didn't answer that prayer, or rather God said no to that prayer, that Christ may teach Paul not to be proud, so that he can be a useful vessel. Look at verse number 7. I will explain the passage, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me upon in the flesh. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, you will find that Paul was relating something that has happened in the past. In verse number 2, Paul actually mentioned there was a person caught up to the third heaven. You know who he was referring to? He was referring to himself. Do you realize Paul, in this passage, has the privilege of going to heaven? You know what is Paul's saddest thing? After going to heaven, he has to come back. God said, sorry, your time is not. This is just give you a sneak preview, kind of like those condo freehold, you know, come and they make this, you come and see only, and then they make you drool, right? I wish I had that, okay? Paul went up to heaven and said, sorry, Paul, you got to go back. So, you know, Paul had a glimpse into heaven. He had a vision of heaven. God gave him that vision. He came down. Paul says, I am someone who have seen heaven. But God said, you're not supposed to tell them. It's a secret. You know those good secrets? We bring a Christmas party and all that. Shh, don't tell them. I think that's what God had in mind. I want the Christians in this world to be surprised when they come for this, to come to this place. Shh, Paul, you're not supposed to say it, alright? The Bible says it was not lawful for anyone to utter what he saw. But then, just in case, Paul, previously being a Pharisee, and many times there's this thing about being as proud as a Pharisee. Remember? What Paul did? You know what God did? Paul? That's what Paul said. That was the lesson Paul learned. Just in case, because of what God has been doing in our lives, I should be exalted above measure. The word exalted above measure means to be haughty and proud through the abundance of the revelation. You know what Paul is saying? God gave him a thorn in the flesh. God said no to his prayer because, Paul, I want you to learn that what you have comes from me. And just in case you are too proud, I'm going to put something there to help keep you at that state of humility. Why was Paul's prayer not answered? Because God, in his providence, knew that Paul would become proud unless there was something to help him. The thorn in the flesh helped Paul. And Paul recognized that. It was sent to him a messenger of Satan. Just in case, I'll just explain this. A messenger of Satan recognized the thorn in the flesh was called the messenger of the devil. The idea is that God actually allowed the devil to give Paul some problems in his life. Physical problems. Remember Job? Remember Job in the Old Testament? Job say, a God-fearing man love you because you bless him. Why don't I just take away his health and he will curse you to the face? You know what God says? Okay, you go ahead and do it. But don't touch his life. So the physical problems came from Satan. And so the messenger of Satan refers to the physical problems that God allows in the life of a Christian. And some of you may have physical problems in your life, huh? Okay, I have a physical problem in my life. My knees, okay, went for surgery now. My left knee is working up. Some of you can't see past this. Some of you have other physical problems. And you find that sometimes you are tired. Sometimes you are kind of, some people have physical problems that they cannot overcome. You know, it's not just physical problems. Sometimes there are situations in your life. May not be your fault. It just came. You know what Paul, you know what God taught him? You need to be humble. Pride is the first problem that causes so many other problems. Isn't it true? Okay, it was pride. Where did pride come from? In Satan's heart. Where did pride start? In Satan's heart. When Satan rebelled against God, Isaiah chapter 14, that was where sin all started. I will be like the Most High. That's what he says. Pride, the Bible says, Proverbs 16:18, goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Can I just use this verse? The Bible says, pride goeth before destruction. So which means when a person is proud, what is going to happen to this person? When a person is proud, don't want to listen to anyone, what's going to happen to that person? Based on the Bible, the pride goeth before destruction, so what's going to happen to the person? It's going to fall. Yes? So if something is done to prevent me from being proud, Is that mercy? Can you see God's grace? Can you see God's grace? You know what God is saying? I don't want you to be destroyed. I don't want you to fall. Because in your own sinful nature, if you continue the way you are, you will fall. You will destroy yourself and everyone else with you. And that's why God had to stop Paul. Get this, pride, oh pride, destroys so many things. It destroyed Satan's career in heaven. He had to be brought down to earth. And then men, in their rebellion against God, destroyed the relationship. The first marriage relationship was destroyed in the Garden of Eden because of pride. And then after that, Cain destroyed his brother Abel. Why? Because he was proud. He wanted to do things. He wanted to give an offering his way. And then God had to destroy the whole earth. Genesis chapter 6. Had to destroy the whole earth because men begin to be proud and rebel against God. The wickedness. And Paul, God actually said God repented. Did God change his mind about creating the world? No, he didn't. The idea of repentance means God says, oh, God always has a plan. And so he removed that and kept eight persons alive to continue this world. What is an indication of pride? How do we know there's pride so that we can help ourselves? Look at Psalm 119, verse 21. Psalm 119, verse 21, the Bible says, thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed. Everyone that is proud is cursed as far as God is concerned, because God resists the proud. So God says, thou hast rebuked the proud, listen, which do err from thy commandments. The word err there means to stray from, to transgress, to cause to go astray, to sin through ignorance. The proud are those people who would go away from God's commandments either by ignorance or by deception, or they would just move away from what they know to be right. You know what the saddest thing for us? You know, sometimes some situations in us as Christians, God allows it to continue. You know why? Because we have strayed from His commandments. Straying from His commandments equals pride. And God had to say no to our answers sometimes because we are strayed. It's interesting in the book of Psalms 119, sometimes God gives affliction so that I will come back to God. Oh, Christians, recognize this. Is it possible that in our lives today that God is just not answering our prayer? Because if God did, we will be so proud of ourselves. You know, this is a dangerous thing. Have you heard of people who said things like this? See, I do all these wrong things, I'm still okay. What? But what's wrong with you? Have you heard of people who say that? Have you heard of people who say, I've been doing all these things, what's the problem? I go to church for what? I don't have to depend on God. What? Oh, mark it down. Only a person who don't belong to God will not have God's discipline. Does it make sense? Have you heard people who say that I'm doing all these things and everything is fine and wonderful, I'm enjoying life? You know, and some of us as Christians, we get very jealous, right? Can I say this? I hope you learn this lesson. God allows and says no to your prayer because you belong to Him. And God says, child, I love you. I don't want you to go down that road of destruction. That's why your prayers are being said no. Oh, understand this. Number one, God answered no to his prayer because he wanted to humble Paul, keep Paul to be humble so that he can be continuing to be a useful vessel for God. Number one. Notice secondly. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 and 9. And this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that he might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul was praying that God may heal him of his problem. He prayed three times, specifically, that the problem might depart from him. The phrase three times is an important principle for us as Christians. And I believe many of us have prayed for something. But you keep praying and praying and praying, it just doesn't seem to happen. Can I say this based on the principle of God's word here? When you are praying for something to happen, but it's not happening, God is sending you a signal. That is not the way you are supposed to pray. Or, that is not the direction that I am headed. As a wise Heavenly Father, He will send you indications. It's just that we as Christians, once we have prayed specifically for certain things, Paul said, I prayed three times. Alright? There are two interpretations for that. It could be Paul on three separate occasions specifically prayed, God please, God please, God please. And then he got the answer, no. Or it could be he has been praying repetitively. Can I say this? In either of the interpretations, there comes a time in your prayer life, if you are praying for something that you are not getting it, open your eyes and say, God, are you showing me something else? Does it make sense? It's very important because Christians go into a situation where they begin to blame God. I thought I heard in church that God always answers my prayer. Does God always answer our prayer? Absolutely. Yes. Yes, no, or wait. And we need to understand that. For us, in our mentality, God, there's only one answer. Yes. Right? That's why some of us will have this mentality that when God, when it's no, it means God haven't answered our prayer. No means no. You know why we want to keep on asking? Because in our heart, the desire is so strong, we want it and we want it now. God has to say no. And so in this situation, Paul was praying. And so there are people who will say, if I keep praying for so long and nothing happened, it could be that God had other plans. Alright? And you know, as Christians, we need to understand when God doesn't answer prayer, we need to be brave enough to say, alright God, have I gone wrong? Or have I prayed wrongly? Or Lord, am I looking at the correct thing in the correct way? Or am I thinking I just want it this way? Listen carefully. If you in your mind always think that God doesn't answer your prayer, it could just be that God says, I'm saying no, 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 no. And you keep saying, I want, I want, I want. And God says, I'm going to keep you proud. I will not take away your problem until you learn to submit to me. Which is my third point, I jumped already. But you know, it's very important for us to understand when God says no, it's not that He doesn't love us. In fact, He loves us. That's why He said no. And even though how often you pray, God may just keep saying no. So the second question, the second point is, why did God say no to Paul's prayer? Because that God, Christ might teach Paul to be submissive to His will. Listen to the scriptures. For this thing, verse 8, I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And then Christ said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee. Paul, I'll read what I have here. I kind of paraphrase what God might have said. Paul, I know you have prayed this prayer three times. Let the problem leave you. But Paul, I know if I take it away, you will become proud. Because God knows Paul's heart. So I'm leaving it there so that you can remain humble in your heart and so that you can learn to submit to my will. Oh, that's painful. You know what that reminds me of? Gethsemane. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 26. The experience of Jesus Himself. Matthew chapter 26, verse 37. I won't read the whole thing, I just pick up chunks of it. All of us who understand Gethsemane. Gethsemane means olive press. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives to pray. Olive press, if you understand, you know, in Singaporean, probably soya bean or tau hui chi, you know, to put the beans in this big stone and then you turn and you grind the soybean and then the juices will come out. And that's what they do. The olive press is a big stone and they put the olives in the middle and they will grind same way you grind tau hui chi and the oil will come out. And Jesus was in Gethsemane, one of the most, one of the saddest places perhaps in Jesus' life. But in verse 37, and he took with him Peter and two of his sons of Zebedee, James and John, began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he says in verse 38, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Verse 39, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And the Bible says later on in verse number 42, he went again the second time and prayed, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And then he goes, verse 44, and he left them and went away and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Are you saying, Brother Johnny, that my situation may not go away because I am not submissive to the will of God? It appears that Jesus had to pray this prayer. If you are not taking away this situation from me, I'm going to submit to it with all of my heart. As a pastor, I would weep for anyone who needs to. We need to understand this lesson. This is God's lesson. Some of you may be in situations that you are not proud of. Some of you may have situations that you are there. Can I say this? If you are in a situation that you created yourself, then you have to bear the consequences. But if you are in a situation that, I didn't do all this, I don't deserve this, it applies to the second one. Whereby you did not bring this upon yourself, it happened. And you are in the midst of it and there is no way you can get out. You know what? And you pray, God, why does this have to happen? You know what God says? I want you to learn to submit to my will. I want you to submit to my will. But Brother Johnny, it's so painful. I know it is. I even wrote here, I don't understand your pain. But He does. Amen? And by the way, as pastor, I can help to give you direction from the Bible, but it is the Savior, the Lord Jesus, that will walk with you in your darkness. Oh, we try. I will try my best. Darkness, maybe you have the idea of midnight. I'll come to you and visit you at midnight, that kind of thing. But you know, it was the Lord Jesus Christ that will be sitting with you when you are weeping and there's no one there. Amen? But you know, as you weep, how are you weeping? Are you weeping, I don't like this, I don't like this, I don't like this? Or are you weeping, Lord, I submit to you. I know it's hard, but give me strength. You know, God's looking for the second response. Someone who will say, yes, Lord, it's tough, but I'll submit to you. Can I ask you a question? Do you believe God has the best plan for you? There's only one amen. You believe that God has the best plan for you? And if so, will you learn to submit to the will of God in your life? But Brother Johnny, it's been so long. Can I say this? God can do what He will with our life because He's just and He's God. Is it possible that God will allow us to go through the situation till we see Him as part of His plan? Because there's someone else's life in the next 70 years that we are planting. We're just part of the setup. Is it possible? You know, God is, let God be God. Let Him, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. I taught this two Fridays ago. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path. Remember what's the meaning of acknowledge, those who are here? What's the meaning of acknowledge? The word acknowledge is just not a verbal saying, Lord, I acknowledge your will. The word acknowledge means with my whole heart, my whole will, my whole flesh, my life, my ambitions, my everything, my skills, my money, my bank account. Lord, I acknowledge your will in all my ways. I acknowledge you, Lord. If you want to shift me to someone else, I will. If you want me to stay put, I will. If you want me to give up everything, I will. If you want me to give up my ambitions, I will. If you want to give up my money, I will. If you want to give up my career, I will. Lord, I acknowledge you in everything. If you want to give up my skills, I will. You know, some of you know Brother Saul, he has to give up his skills. Why? To go to a land that he cannot even speak the language properly. But through him, he reached more souls than we can ever reach in Singapore. Why? Because he was in submission to God's will in a place that he knew he don't have skills. And sometimes God doesn't want our skills. He wants our availability. But in order for God to get our availability, he's got to get our will first. And he needs to say, I need you to submit to me first. Otherwise, I cannot use you. That's why sometimes we pray, God says no. Oh, listen carefully. You are in a personal relationship with God. You're not in a religion. Religion, you're in charge. In Christianity, God's in charge. And therefore, we need to submit to Him humbly. You know how this church grow? No, it's not my job. And can I humbly say, workers, you have worked very hard, but it's not your job. God gave the increase. Except the Lord build the house, you labor in vain. Some of you parents are putting so much effort in your children, you labor in vain if you are not in submission to God. Is it possible for you to do what God wants you to do, but not in submission to Him? Absolutely. Have you seen a child say, I'll do law. See, God's not after the task. He's after the heart. Are you in submission to God's will? Are you willing to acknowledge God's will? Note it thirdly. The first two lessons is God might keep us humble. God must teach us to be submissive. And number three, notice again in 2 Corinthians 12 verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord three times, that He might depart from me. And He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. This means, right, the verse says, my grace is sufficient for me. The word grace there means unmerited favor, something we do not deserve. But it's as if God is saying again, Paul, I'm going to put you through the difficulties for your sake. You know, when I wrote that, I was thinking, Paul, I'm going to put you through your difficulties for your sake. God doesn't have to learn anything. He's perfect knowledge. Amen? He's all-knowing. So God puts us through the trials and the situations for our learning. And as you go through those difficulties, Paul, I will be with you. Okay? That's why he says, my grace is sufficient for you. My unmerited favor, I like this, my unmerited favor is enough for you to sustain you through your troubles, to ward off any danger. You do not need for me to remove this problem. Because my grace, the things that I would show you and give to you in your difficulty is enough for you, is sufficient for you to preserve you from any weakness or any lack in your life. Are you listening? Those who are going through, listen to this again. God is saying, you may be going through the difficulties, but listen, my grace, what I will provide for you, my spiritual lessons for you, my time of strength for you, the times when you go through the hardest time of your life, whatever I'm going to provide for you, my physical, my presence will be with you, my thoughts are with you. Jesus says, I will be personally with you, and those things will be the things that will take you through that trial. Oh, how many times we have people suffering from cancer. Me and Brother Taylor was visiting someone in hospital. Alright, he has kidney failure and among other things. You know, when we went there to be an encouragement to him, but we came out being encouraged by him. You know what he said in the bed with liver failure and all kinds of illnesses, he says, if this is God's will, I'm happy. Oh, then we will have Christians. Must God bring us to liver failure before we can learn that? Must God destroy everything else before we can recognize Him? Oh, Christian, we live in the self-centered Christianity whereby everything is me, 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 me. Oh, that we will learn that it is Jesus that is what we need, not what we selfishly want. Oh, that's why sometimes even our prayers, if you analyze our prayers, it's always about me, I, myself, the unholy trinity. Oh, we pray only for ourselves. What about someone else dying, going to hell? What about loved ones who by the way we behave are being put off Jesus? Oh, it is Jesus who will be the one who will take us through. You know, this man in the bed just said, in Mandarin, 要是这是神的旨意, if this is God's will, let it be. Let it be. Why does God say no to Paul's prayer number 3? Because our dear Savior wants to teach us to depend on Him to take us through the trials. You know, in this day and age, we oftentimes depend on our skills. Information technology is in an increase. We have a lot of skills compared to the past. And yet, the past are more spiritually stronger than the present time. Would you agree? There are more awareness of God in the past than they are now. Oh, how we need to depend on God. Sometimes we think, I'm in charge of my own body. You know what God says? No, 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 no. You got it wrong. I'm in charge of your body. We need to learn to depend on the Lord more and more. And sometimes God allows some affliction, some sickness to come to us, some difficulties come to us, not only to humble us and help us submit to Him, but to understand all you ever need is found in Christ. You know, for the growth of this church to 1,000 members, I shudder. I don't know. Yes, we have that vision. Yes, we are trusting God. But you know why? You know, when you first build a building, you got to break the foundation. You got to break through the ground, right? You got to make sure the foundation is strong. But if our hearts are not submitted to the Lord, our foundation cannot be strong. It is not about building the church. It's about your own Christian life. The Bible says, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a man that built his house upon a rock. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Are we in submission to God's will? And so here, Jesus wants to teach us to depend on Him. The two things He wants us to depend on Him. Number one, it is His grace that will take us through. Can I say this? Grace is given to everyone. You know where I find that? Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely, goodness and mercy, chesed in Hebrew, is equivalent to grace in the New Testament. Surely God's goodness and God's mercy, what did David say? Shall follow me until the next train station. Huh? Shall follow me all the days of my life. Christians, can I say this? God's goodness and mercy is on every Christian, every child of God. Did you know that? I don't have much, but when I die, I know my 4 children at least have something, so that they can buy, they can tide over the period of grief that I'm not around. Of course, my wife will have my books and things like that. But you know what? Those are secured for them. That anything happens to me, they are preserved. But not just that. Do you realize the Lord Jesus Christ is with us every single day, every single minute, even when we do not think of Him, and even when, listen, when we choose not to listen to Him. Because He promised, He cannot deny Himself. He is faithful even when we are unfaithful. That's our God, that's our Savior. Is it hard to submit to someone who loves you so much? Oh, Christian, don't depend on your own strength. Depend on Christ. What do you mean, Brother Johnny, to depend on Christ? Christ has given us His Word. You know what? You know what the Bible says? Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe the will of God, all things whatsoever commanded you. You know why I'm so... I know if you keep your eyes in this Word, your life will be strong. Amen? You will be excellent for Christ. Get out of this Word, I guarantee you, problems will come. Why? You're going out of God's protection. You need to come in the light of God's Word. Number one, Jesus gives us, it is His grace that will take us through. Some people may always complain about your situations, how bad it is, how little money we have, how bad our workplace is, how terrible things are. But listen, God placed it there so that we can learn to depend on Him more and more. To realize that His grace will be upon us so that we can grow. Do you realize that when we pray that God will take us out of a situation, it could be God wants us to go through that situation so that we can come out stronger. Amen? It is through stress and trials that we grow. Paul says in Philippians 4, I have learned to be content. And some of us are very dissatisfied. You know what? God is going to keep you in your situation until you learn to be contented and submit to God. Number one is His grace will take us through. Number two, notice the Bible says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's a wonderful statement that Jesus gave to Paul. Listen to this. This perfect there is the same Greek word that Jesus used on the cross. It is finished. Teleotis. Okay? God says, God's strength is complete in weakness. Now, how does that work? I was trying to... Just imagine there are two cups. One cup full of water, one cup empty. When the cup is full, can you pour anything else inside? No. But when the cup is empty, can you pour something inside? Yes. Listen to the phrasing of the Greek. It says, my strength, as you let your weakness go out, will come in and start feeling it. As much as you would let go, my strength will come in. My strength is made complete in weakness. Do you know Paul is shorter than... Do you know how tall are you? 1.4? 1.5, okay. Do you know, this is Paul. But Paul is shorter than him. Paul is not only shorter than him, Paul is apparently hunched. And apparently he's not very good to look at. Because in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 10, the Corinthian Christians said, Paul's speech is contemptible and his physical presence is weak. Paul, what you say, it... And your physical presence, he's not someone nice that you look at. Today, when you look for someone, you must handsome, you know, like Yao Ming, you know, in China, you know, the tall basketball player. Now in Singapore, they're 16-year-old, right? 1.99 or something like that. Slated to join the Singapore Slingers or something like that, the basketball team. Nice, stout, he's quick on his feet, he's hardworking, you know, that's the kind. Paul was called for hardworking, but you know what? When you look at Paul, it's like, is he from the halfway house? Kind of thing, you know. It's all and nothing pleasant to look at. But you know what? What happens everywhere where Paul goes? Churches are started. Pastors ordained. Souls saved. Families reunited. Families going to heaven. Remember the Filipino jailer again? No, a Philippian jailer. Huh? Acts chapter 16. Huh? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And what the Philippian jailer did, he brought Paul back to his house, washed the wounds, had a whole family hear the gospel, got saved, and they were baptized. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Notice the submission, notice the obedience to God, and the whole entire family comes to Christ. Everywhere Paul went, there were miraculous results. But you know what Paul says? What I am. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, I love this verse. Paul, even after he had such massive results, 1 Corinthians 15, I believe. And verse number 10. Verse 9. You know what? Paul had a submission to God. He said this in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul says, I am the least of the apostles. And I'm not need to be called an apostle. You know what he's saying? Paul is saying here, I'm not even fit to be called an apostle. That's what he means. Oh, notice the humility of Paul. God did his job, and Paul submitted to it, to the point that it's coming out of his mouth now. I'm not even fit to be an apostle. Why? Because I persecuted the church of God. But, listen to this, by the what? Grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. In other words, when God actually gave His help, Paul received it. Let me ask you a question. As you go through the trials, when your friends come with encouragement, when your friends say, let's pray and submit to God, when you say, let's do it this way because that's God's way, do you say, no? Or do you say, I need to seek the Lord and thank you for encouraging me. I know God is helping me and God is sending you to help me. And I'm thankful for the people around to encourage me and to help me through the difficult time. You know, in the church, that's what we need to do. Okay, the world's not going to do that. We need God. And here Paul says what? The grace that God gave to me was not meaningless. I didn't throw it away. I received it. But Paul says, as a result, I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I. Listen, Paul, once again, humility, but God's grace was upon me, was with me. Christian, you go through your situation when God says no. It could be God just wants you. I want you to learn to depend on me. In other words, you know what it means to depend on God? You go back and start spending more time in Bible. You call me, and I'll give you Bible materials. You'll go through it if necessary. I'll teach you practically how to find God's will from God's word. It's not me that will help you. I'm just merely pointing the way. But you have to go to Christ. And I'm going to teach you by God's grace all things whatsoever Christ has commanded you. And that you follow Him. You depend on Him. You pray that Christ will be exalted in your life and everything that He tells you to do, do it. And then God will answer your prayer. And here, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Simply means it is through our weakness that God perfects His strength in us. Do you realize if we keep holding on, we can never be strong in Christ? Because the only way the Bible says here that you can be strong in Christ is when you abandon yourself. You surrender yourself and say, God, you take over. When we are empty, God begins to be full in our lives. When we are full of ourselves, God cannot work in us. Power is increasingly, is continually increased. Power of God is increasingly, power is continually increased in our life as our weakness grows. As we begin to understand, I can do all things only through Christ which strengtheneth us. Why does God not answer our prayer? Lastly, that we might have the power of Christ to do His will. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. No, the very thing that is our problem, can I say this, could be the very thing that would turn you back to Christ. Why do you think God put it there in the first place? Think about that. Why did God put you through that in the first place? It could be that the very thing that you're trying to push out, and the very thing that you're trying to avoid, the very sickness maybe you have, the many things that you have in your life, and you keep saying no, you keep saying no. You know what God is saying? I want you to say yes to me, and to the concerned people around you, and that you will just swing and say, it could be that thing that will push you back to Christ. And can I say this? The moment you get out of that, you know what? Christ's power will rest in you. You'll see things changing. You know, it's miraculous what God can do with someone who will surrender His will and allow God to take over so that God's power may rest on that person. Our Savior wants us to learn to be humble, be submissive, to depend on Him so that His strength can be seen in us. For what? So how do we apply this? Can I just apply this as a father? I need to be humble and admit I may be lazy. As a father, I need to be humble and admit that I can't be focused on my task. I'm very distracted. I know of a father who plays computer games until 2 a.m. The next morning, cannot get up and go to church. I need to admit I cannot focus on the task and I'm too proud to admit I'm wrong. I need to humble myself as God works in my life. I need to acknowledge humbly that I need to follow God. I'm not following God as I should. I need to admit to God I'm not as responsible as a Christian father as I should. I need to admit that I'm unloving sometimes. I need to be humble enough to learn new things rather than holding on to what I know. As a mother, you need to submit to your husbands according to the will of God. You need to say, I'm going to reserve my opinions. I'm going to respect my husband because Christ tells me to do that. If I respect Christ, I'm supposed to respect my husband. Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Children, you need to submit to your parents. One means one, two means two. Sleep means sleep. 1 minute means 1 minute. That's obedience. We need to get back to that. It could be that God just wants us to get, push us back in line so that we can follow Him. Can I say this? When the entire church have such power in our lives, people will be knocking on our doors. And they are. They are doing that now. I'm not saying in pride. I've said it before. The only reason this church is going to grow is that God is involved. The time God stops getting involved will be the time we start to die. Oh, that we will build on Jesus. We will pray. You know, thank God for many people who want to join the church, but you know, as members, we need to fast and pray. That God have mercy on us even more. Continually focus on the process. God help us, God help us, God help us. Rather than say, wow, the church is quite big now, you know, all filled up, you know. We need to ask God, say, God, we need, the more people, my prayer is I will baptize my father and mother-in-law. What is your prayer? I had the privilege of sharing with them the gospel on Thursday. Oh, for the first time, God gave me, thank God for what He's doing. My prayer, they are in their 70s, coming 80s. And I'm praying, God, give me this. Lord willing, in a few weeks' time, I have the privilege of, Lord willing, immersing my mom. What about you? That the power of Christ might rest on me. Their salvation, I can't save them. Only God can, amen? Only God can save them. So why don't we depend on Christ more? Or some of us want to change the people around. No, you can't. You need God to change you. Then God can use you to change them. We are instruments, remember? But we need Christ's power to be on us. Children, can I say this? When your parents say no to you, that's exactly what they want you to learn, right? To be humble, to submit, to be obedient, so that I can give you more pocket money. The power for the children. This is for the children. Are you listening? When mommy says no, means? Some children don't want to answer. When mommy or daddy says no, means? No. Because in the mind of your parents, they love you. And they know that if you keep on behaving that way, it's going to hurt you. And so no means no. And you know what? As an obedient, if you've trusted Christ as a child, if you've been here long enough, you say, okay, I learned that I have to obey my parents. Okay, Ephesians 6 verse 1, right? What does Ephesians 6 verse 1? Quick. What? Parents, in the Lord, for this is wrong, right? But this is right. Obey your parents. If you just, I can tell you, you're going to have harmonious families, amen? And then, children, I can... Let me just give you a trick. The more you obey your parents, the more you get to play. That's if your parents give you permission. And you'll be surprised how much time you say. You know how much time we waste fighting? Don't want, I don't want. You better do it. Don't want, don't want. You better do. Why don't we just save that time, say, yes, ma'am. And then do it, then you get all the time to play. Huh? Logic, right? But you know what? Sinful nature. I refuse to give in. And God says, okay. Then the answer is, no. We need to learn to submit to Christ. So how do we respond? Look at verse number 10 as we close, or 9 and 10 as we close. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I take pleasure. Oh, I'm so glad I have a knee problem. That's what Paul is saying. Oh, I'm so glad I have an eye problem. No, Paul is not crazy. It seems crazy in the eyes of this world. But you know, Paul says, I thank God for my knee problem. Have you heard? I thank God for my cancer. Have you heard that before? No, I was just reading. There's this website. No, I wanted to bring up, but it's a bit too long. But this lady was saying, she had 4 deaths in her family in a few weeks. 4 deaths. Father, the mother, and 4 deaths. But you know what she says at the end? I thank God that she is always with me, even through all this tragedy. There was another situation in America when a 9-year-old girl was killed But when the 9-year-old girl was killed, it was killed by a robber who stabbed her 27 times. Terrible death. On the Sunday, the entire family was in church. The grandma and the grandpa who were not saved came to Christ. When they saw the strength of that family in submitting to God's will, even in tragedy, and the grandpa, the grandma, the uncles became Christians because this family submitted to Christ. The world is not looking for Christians to do much. The world is looking for Christians that are like Jesus, that will be willing to submit to what God tells them to do. And when you pray, God will answer no, yes. When God answers no, learn, Christians, to submit. I will glory in my situation so that the power of Christ may dwell upon me. You know, everywhere Paul went, churches sprang up. Why? People could see, this guy doesn't work for money. Remember, Paul didn't take support from any of the churches. Why? So that his preaching of the gospel will be unhindered. And God blessed him richly. God supported him, provided all his needs. The word rather means better than asking for me, better than asking for God to remove these things, I would rather thank God for what I have right now. As we close, you know, I have many verses in my mind as I want to close this. But remember this. Let's turn to Job 23 as we close. Job 23. Verse 8. I'll just read, just listen, because Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Job chapter 23, verse 8. The Bible says, behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. I cannot understand him. I cannot see him. Verse 9. On the left hand, where he doeth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Notice in those two verses, Job knows God is there, it's just that he can't see him. Does that make sense? That's faith. Some of us can't even see that God is at work. I've heard Christians say, where is God? Oh, God is there. And I love this. Just because it's raining and there's thunderstorm, doesn't mean there's no more sun. Amen? Sun is always there. But notice verse number 10. But he knows the way that I take. When he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot had held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. And notice the submission, the willingness to be humble to God. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. And I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. It is just like Jesus saying, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Let me ask you a question. Is God saying no to your prayer? It could be that the very prayer that you're praying will be the means of making you a giant for God. Oh Christian, submit to God. Let God have a heart of humility, and then recognize Jesus will go through with you in your trials and his power. You know how we see his power? When people start noticing. You're not focusing on the attention. You're focusing on following Christ. People start paying attention. And that's when power of Christ will come. It is amazing what God is doing in Bethel Baptist Church. There was one time my family and I were praying just upstairs. I mean, some of you would join us. And we're praying for new believers, new people to come. And we don't know how it's going to come. And then my little one comes in. Papa, papa, there's someone new. They came in and say, how did you come in? Oh, we found a track on the floor and we came. God can do anything. Amen? But God will only do it when we are willing to submit to him. Thank God for his grace. But Christian, are you living in his grace or living by what we think? Let's have all our prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for what you have done today. I I just pray right now, Lord. We're going to sing the song that all I ever need is found in Christ. But Lord, we are praying for one person. Lord, this message, I'm sure, has a point for someone. It's not just based on what I know, but God is more what you know. Lord, I pray that Thou will do Your work right now. Your eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around. I just want to ask this question. Are you going through a situation that you've been asking for certain things and God has been saying no? Or you feel that as if God is saying no? Is it possible that God is the situation you're praying for, that you're uncomfortable, you may not have the ability to deal with it, but yet you find it so hard, and the best thing that you know how is to ask God to remove it? It could be God wants that situation to help you grow. All I'm going to ask is this question: would you allow God to do His will in your life, in submission, in humility, and that God will do that in your life? I say, Brother Johnny, I've heard this message, and God has to work on me. Would you pray for me that I will allow God to do His will in my life? Is there anyone? Just raise up your hand. No one looking around. I'll pray for you. I just need God to work in me so that my prayers can be answered. Is there anyone? Just pull up your right hand. I'll pray for you. Amen. I see that hand. Anyone else? You don't have to be shy. We're all family. Is there something that you have in your life that you are saying that, look, God has to work in my life in some area? I don't know what that is, but God does. I don't know why I preach this, but I believe that God may be working in people's lives. Is there anyone? Amen. I see that hand. Amen. Just pray. Submit yourself to Christ even right now. Don't ever pray, Lord, help me. Pray, I will, and then God help me. Because you put yourself in the decision-making process and say, Lord, I've chosen to follow you. Oh, Lord, help me. Is there anyone else? I will. Amen. I see that hand too. And those hands. Anyone else? Amen. I see that hand too. I will submit to you. Just put up your hand and pull it down and then submit your heart to God and say, God, I will. Help me. Is there anyone else? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the hands that have gone up. Oh God, please. Like the man that had to stand before Jesus and say, Lord, I believe. Help down my unbelief. Help us to come to a place of faith, of trusting you to know that you have the best plan. And that, God, I will be able to do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I pray for everyone who has put up their hand now. I pray, God, that they will have a proper understanding of this message. And that, God, your Holy Spirit will burn in them the willingness, Father, to submit to you in humility, allowing you, Lord, to do your will and your work in their lives. God, that they might admit the weaknesses of their life, they acknowledge you in all their ways. And that, Father, your power may rest upon them. Father, we look forward to changes in their Christian life. We look forward to changes in the lives of some of the children that put up their hands. Oh, that, Father, you would have these children grow up to become giants for God. They will take over. And that, Father, will continue to live for you. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do in all of our lives. We just ask for your grace and your strength to rest upon us as we submit to you in humility, both individually and as a church. That, God, we cannot do anything without you. And God, we thank you. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our sufficiency. Lord, we know that even though we don't have anything in this world, as long as we have Jesus, we have everything. We thank you, Lord, that Christ is our all in all. And we'll thank you. As we close, help us to sing this song meaningfully from our hearts in Jesus' name. Let's stand as we sing the closing hymn. All I ever need is found in thee. May it bring new meaning in your life as we sing this song. Before we sing this song, I think we all know, I'll say it again. You cannot find this song in your internet because it's sung by the Russian Christians when they were under the communist regime, that they were being persecuted severely for their Christian faith. But you know, you notice some of the words that even say, not for worldly pleasures, not for worldly riches, and all they seek is Christ. Not even in the song, they wanted Christ. They didn't ask God to remove them from the persecution. They ask God for strength as they go through the persecution. All right, let's sing that. All the six senses. Amen. I hope that's true of you. Let's close in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Thy word teach us that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We thank You, Lord, that in Your dear Son that we have everlasting life. We thank You, Father, for the close relationship that we can have with You. But Lord, at the same time, for those who have difficulty, Father, understanding this close relationship, I pray that Thy Holy Spirit will make it so real today. Father, help them to understand that sometimes when You say no to our prayer, it is because as a wise Heavenly Father, there are other things, Lord, that You want to see in our lives as we grow. Lord, it is not about us, but it is about You. It is about how we can bring honor and glory to You. Lord, I ask for Your Holy Spirit to do a wonderful work in all of our lives. For those who are planning by Your grace to be baptized, I pray, Lord, they will follow through their decision, knowing, Lord, they are not following man, they are following Christ into the waters of baptism. For those who would be transferring, Father, I pray You give them a resolve to know that, God, it is Your will, and that, Father, You will do Your best for them wherever they are. I pray also for the rest of us. I pray for the situation that we have been praying about. God, may we have fresh insight from heaven today about why and how we need to do what we need to do, so that in the end, Lord, the grace of Christ might be upon us, the strength of Christ might be upon us, and that, Lord, You will have Your will and way, and that, Lord, You will be all magnified. Thank You, Father, for being with us as we have the meeting and the Chinese service afterwards. Lord, use us in a powerful way, and we'll thank You for what You're going to do now. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, just be seated. We are just